real orgasms weren't like possibility. So at some point I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is true. Like either I have like vaginisms or either I have like anorgasmia or something, but something is really not working. The better we understand the porn industry as consumers, also the better choices we make. And with better choices also come safer working standards for the people in the industry, especially sex workers and porn performers.
Hello and welcome to this Cheeks Talks episode, Sexual Education and Porn, with the wonderful Lena Bembe. She's a Latinx sex professional, a porn performer and director, and since March, she's also Cheeks' adult industry expert. Her work is political, educational and feminist. In this episode, we will talk about porn and sex education. How do they work together and where? What do we need to change in the way we approach porn and sex education? And does a realistic view on sex exist? Cheeks is a safe space for your sexual exploration. Become a better lover by attending workshops at the Cheeks Pleasure Academy and get inspired by ethically produced hot and steamy videos and audio stories. Try Cheeks 7 days for free using the promo code in the show notes of this episode. I'm Annelie, sensuality coach, pleasure activist, and Cheeks workshop host, and I'm very excited about my guest today. Hi, Lena.
Hi.
It's so nice to be able to record this podcast episode with you.
Thank you. I'm excited too.
I want to kind of dive right in and ask you, what did your sex education look like?
Oh my God. I think the problem was that my sex education looked like nothing. I mean, in many ways, I am a typical cliche of the kid that received the most cliche sex education during my early years. It was this thing that was only about the horrors of pregnancies, wet dreams, horrific STDs, and how babies come to this world. And yeah, and the rest, I just had to figure it out myself. So yeah, I don't know if I call that sex education at all, you know?
Yeah, I think most of us are probably discovering real sex education way later in life than we should.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that sometimes it's kind of sad because in many cases, we might be able to receive a bit more comprehensive sex education, you know, depending on the luck we get with our schools or with our families or the environments that we grow up with. But it's really funny that sometimes like you receive whatever you are given and you're supposed to figure out or to know the rest for yourself. And then you realize that even in your adult years, when you're supposed to be like a full on like adult person, you know, who is supposed to be knowledgeable and responsible and all these things. And then you realize that many adult people still are lacking very much the basics. And that's also a very sad thing because either people are not like happy with themselves or are very confused. And that's not only about like personal fulfillment, but it's also about being safe, either for oneself or for others. So of course, when we talk about like being an adolescent, you know, and being confused about sex, it looks like this funny thing, you know, like, oh my God, like these kids, you know, like, oh, they're so confused, blah, blah, blah. But then they come into like the adult years and they still carry that teenage confusion in many ways, but it's just normalized.
Yeah. And like you said, the sex education that we didn't get when we were younger, the problem with that probably also is that this creates a lot of shame around this topic because it doesn't seem normal to talk about it. And we only hear about the horrors of infections you can get from having sex and how you get pregnant really easily. So people never learn how to talk about it. And then they're adults and are still as confused as they were when they were teenagers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the problem is that in an adult age, I mean, you are supposed to be like sexually, many people are already sexually active for a number of years already. So I think that even in your tender years, like having like all the, like these scary pictures of STDs and so on and pregnancy and so on, it becomes a funny topic. But then in your adult life, there's people who never get tested because that's taboo, you know? I don't know, like all like these cliches and all the underlying shame in the way in which we learn about sex is already like hurting themselves and hurting others and being like risky for themselves and for other people.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, porn is probably also the first time they encounter sexuality in of some sort. And especially now when you can just watch whatever you want online. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get their sex education, if you want to call it, from the porn that they watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious, when did you watch your first porn and what was your experience with it?
I think that I watched my first porn, I will say it was in my late teens. So in many ways, I do think and I appreciate that that the first time that I got in touch with sexually explicit material of that kind was a little bit less confusing or weird, as opposed to I could have seen like a massive difference between me watching that kind of content when I was, I don't even remember, but maybe 17 or so, which is mm-hmm. pretty late for today's standards. And I will have seen a massive difference between like watching that from that age as opposed to being like 13 or 14, you know? That yeah, in so many ways, like it's very sad that people do think about porn and sex education because sadly enough, that's the only access they have to explicit sexuality or to more like graphic ways of explaining how sex or sexuality can be lived, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very sad that also we have come to this kind of reality because of the fact that people do not kind of know. For example, in my case, I was already like old, so to speak, to watch porn. But of course, like since I was like, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 years is when I remember people telling me about porn films that they watched, mm-hmm. you know? And they will be like, oh yeah, because you know, like the guy like takes out his sperm and like puts it all over her and so on. And I was just like, I don't know. I was just like hearing that and repeating that and kind of like laughing about it. But of course I have like absolutely no idea. I think that by then I didn't have like any sort of graphic representation of what it meant, you know, mm-hmm. like some man taking out his sperm and putting it in another woman or like, what was it? Yeah, like rubbing it on another woman. Mm-hmm. Like I really, really had no idea of what was that. And of course, I instinctively knew that this kind of question I would not ask to any adult, you know, yeah. because of course it's like, it's taboo, it's forbidden. It's something that you kind of like snuck out to be able to watch. And then everything is just really confusing. It's just like this kind of like dirty secret topic, but that you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're like, oh, that's supposed to be sexy or that's supposed to be something, you know? And yeah, there's like this very big cloud of
question marks.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also remember that in my teenage years, there were a lot of things that were like known in terms of sex. Like, for example, anal sex, specifically penis owners into the anus of people with vulvas. Mm-hmm. That was like the thing. This was so dirty, but so hot if you would do that. And it was somehow I knew about this as a teenager, although I have never seen it anywhere because I think the first time I watched porn was also probably in my late teens or even beginning of my 20s. So mm-hmm. I had not watched anything about this. I have not had anal sex, maybe not even sex at that time, mm-hmm. but still I knew about it. Like there were these rumors spreading yeah. through people that had seen something online or in a on a tape or something mm-hmm. And would know about it. And it's such a strange idea that you would know about very specific practices, sexual practices that are supposed to be really hot, but no one has actually taught you anything about it. It's just yeah, rumors going around, and you wouldn't ask, as you said, I wouldn't ask adults to tell me more about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also like the risk that comes later is like things that you won't ask, but that you will still like kind of like register that are things to be done, you know, mm-hmm. like, I mean, anal sex is a very good example, you know, like how it's like, oh, it's something that happens, you know, it's something that it's done, you know, it's something that looks hot and sparks curiosity and this and that. And then we know like anal sex without like proper preparation can be quite painful.
Yeah.
Or it also implies risks if you don't have enough safety measures, you know. So I really like that example because it's a very good one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things where it can be really pleasurable uh-huh. if you do it right.
Yeah.
But if you know nothing about it yeah. and you're just like, oh, this is what people do.
Yes.
Then it's problematic.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember the first porn that you've seen?
I do remember. It was this very niche film. Like, of course, like it looked like not much budget was put into that. And I do still remember the title. It was called Expert Vaginas. And it was with older women. So it wasn't that hardcore and so on. But I think that the badly called fetish was with older women, maybe in their 50s and so on. And I do remember they were like masturbating and I think at some point like having like penis in vagina sex and so on. And yeah, I think that I didn't have like the adequate tools to understand what I was watching. Mm-hmm. And at that point I was just like, oh, like I wasn't really turned on. I think that in some ways I was kind of disappointed. It was like, oh my God, is this what it is like, you know?
Yeah.
Because then like later on, then I started watching porn and I do remember that I was super curious about it. And then like wherever I will like sort my, the way for me to watch content, I don't know how, but for some reason I ended up in like some kind of like internet forums where people will just like, circulate stolen content from studios.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be like posting about like their favorite like porn stars and so on, and then like all their studio work and so on. This was like my second way of having like fair access to pornography first. And so then I will be like just checking out, and that was a little bit more interesting because then what people will be posting, and then what people will be like saying, oh, I really like this performer and so mm-hmm. on, and oh, have you seen like this scene that she did and so on. So I will also be like kind of like getting curated content, so to speak,
yes,
from the perspective of heterosexual men and so on. So it was this other view to porn that was more the contact with mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
I would say more like softcore in a way. So, and everything like very, very glam, very studio lights and so on, like everyone looking impeccable. The last thing I will think about was just getting off, you know, or feeling pressure because I was just full of questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like if this is porn, I don't think I can entirely buy with this because this looks just so something that I know that it's not working for me. Every now and then the things that will work for me were like girl orgies or things like that mm-hmm. because at some point you could see that they were giving each other like real orgasms and so on, and it's like, oh yeah, this I know this can happen and then yeah, that will be a good thing. But also yeah, when I had a little bit more of like control and filter access, so to speak, I was like, okay, like this is still not it, you know?
Yeah. But I like that you seem to have had the approach of, you know, seeing your own experience as the real experience, basically, and then looking for something that you can relate to, rather than, I think that a lot of people watch porn and think that then something is wrong with their own experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to be confident enough in yourself and in your sexuality to just be like, oh, I'm looking at this. This doesn't really feel like my mm-hmm. thing or isn't representative to me. Mm-hmm. I think is a really good approach to watching porn.
Yeah, I think so too. And I have to say that I was also, again, like not that young anymore. So I also had the chance of like, if I think about it right now, it makes like, I mean, feels like that would happen like three lives ago. But I do think that in many ways, like what it does make a difference to be prepared, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that something that saved me in my case is that I look things as from a standpoint of curiosity, more as a standpoint of like, oh, this has to be the rule, or this has to be the way things are done in the real world. That really saved me. But of course, like we all know, and that's like sadly a common thing that people do think that the way things happen in porn is the way real life works. Mm-hmm. And that's like both for teenagers and also like adult people. And that there's also like this distinction between like sometimes like the distinction between fantasy and reality is not really properly explained.
Yeah.
I think there's like this way of watching porn in which like you can like relate, in which you need to connect with what you're seeing, mm-hmm. more as in like things that you experience yourself that are happening in your body. And there's also this part that is like entire like fantasy out of this world, you know, which yeah. is also fine. And for as long as it's just like understood that everything is fiction, and for as long as it is understood that the moment like certain fantasies stop being like fantasies, then there's like very big problems involved.
Yeah.
Then that's fine.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk about this more. Mm-hmm. But first, because you said that you didn't really have sex education, mm-hmm. who educated you in terms of sex and how?
Well, a big part of it was trial and error. Mm-hmm. I do remember here and there, like sending anonymous emails, you know, to sexology associations, you know, to mm-hmm. ask them like, oh, what's going on? Like, I do remember one time, like very concretely, like, hey, I was super, super, super concerned because I could like super easily orgasm whenever I was masturbating and so on. But whenever I was just like with penetration alone, I was completely unable to reach an orgasm. Mm-hmm. So back then I remember I was like, oh my God, this is the end of the world. I thought that I was anorgasmic, like, imagine, like, I already knew what orgasms were, and then I was, like, already able to masturbate and so on, and come properly and everything, but, like, yeah, in my tender, very uneducated brain, I thought that unless it was from penetration, like, real orgasms weren't, like, possibilities, so at some point I was like, oh my God, yeah. This is true. Like either I have like vaginisms or either I have like anorgasmia or something, but something is really not working. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And then I received like some kind of like funny reply because I was also told like, yeah, like vaginal orgasm, it's also like different and so on and so forth. So it's like, so I think also the reply that I received wasn't the best one. But anyway, eventually with life and some experience and so on, I just like ended up learning things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I did learn a ton through pornography as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do think that sadly I did in my very early years lots of trial and error, you know? I did put myself in a couple of risky situations because of not knowing, you know, or mm-hmm. things that I will have like entirely done differently. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that it's kind of sad to see how this kind of path is mostly the common thing for so many people, you know.
Trial and error.
Yeah. Because yeah, I was also, it was also things that weren't happening only to me, you know, but were also, I will hear things from my friends, you know, bad stories or things like that. So at some point, even like that kind of like trial and error thing becomes quite normalized in many ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, eventually you learn that that's not the thing or that's not how things should be. But I think many people just go through the rest of their lives not even knowing that.
Yeah. And I still think that trial and error, I mean, of course, you need to be safe when uh-huh. trying yeah. and failing. But I still think that trial and error can be at least a better way than not trying at all and not knowing and just being stuck with the sex script that we've kind of learned or heard about and then move through life just with that.
Totally. Yeah. I think that there's kind of the same because, of course, with trying things, that's when you get to know yourself, mm-hmm. you know, better and so on. I think the problem is when you do not know the exact risks, you know, or yeah. when you do not know like what actual options you have. And that comes not only into doing or that doesn't only come to like sex positions or certain types of acts, but also comes with questions of, I don't know, communication or gender yeah. roles or consent that I think that sometimes those are the tricky ones, you know?
Yes, of course. It changes a lot for your sexuality if you exactly. would be educated at least around communication and consent yes. before you start your trial and error journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when did you enter the adult industry and what motivated you to become a performer and a director too?
Well, I started back in 2015. And the thing that kind of motivated me was something quite intuitive in many ways. Like I was already living in Berlin and before doing porn, like I will attend every now and then to the porn film festival screenings and so on. And it was there that I had the opportunity to watch certain films that were kind of different to mm-hmm. what I was used to seeing. And it was also very nice to see the proximity that came with like with the directors being there, mm-hmm. talking about their work, presenting their films, you know. It was also very refreshing to see programs such as like, they had this very famous program called Fun Porn, which is like pornography and comedy and so on. And it was super refreshing to be able to see all those things in a cinema setting, you know, mm-hmm. from a lighthearted perspective, from like thoughtful perspective and so on, and seeing different types of pleasures. And also being able to see the people there talking about their own work, same. It brought some kind of proximity to me that at some point said, oh my God, I think that I could do this. Like, and what I did was just to get in touch with a couple of people, with a couple of directors and so on. And these people were like, oh yeah, thank you for your interest and so on. Let's go have a coffee and then we'll talk about what things are. Mm-hmm. And it was very useful and very nice because these conversations that we had were very informative. Nobody tried to convince me of doing anything. They were like, oh, like, look, it's very nice that you're interested in joining, blah, blah, blah. This is a number of things that you should consider if you ever want to be in this industry. We're not going to tell you right away, hey, let's just go and do things. But think, for example, I didn't even have a performer name back then. So I was like, oh, maybe you really might want to have a performer name because you never know how things go and you really want to protect your privacy in more than one way and so on. Questions like, once you do porn, and even if we have our content on paid platforms and so on, you never know where your work is going to end with all the piracy going on. So once you decide to it, we cannot predict anything about it. And yeah, so it was also like some information about also how like shoots went and so on and so forth. So everything was very, very informative, very free of pressure. I had like plenty of time to think about it and so on. And I think it was after maybe 1 month and a half that I had like one of these conversations that I eventually did my first film. And then after I was done with that film, I was like, okay, yeah, this kind of felt good. I have like a good feeling about it and so on. And my very first year, I took things quite slowly. Mm-hmm. So as just to be sure, you know, mm-hmm. that I was like not in the wrong place, you know. And yeah, and after that time, I was like, okay, yeah, this sounds about right. I will just like keep pursuing it. Mm-hmm. I think that in the end, it all started with a feeling. And I'm thankful that I wasn't wrong about it.
Yeah. You said in a TED Talk, uh-huh. that you were talking to a friend and you were saying that not anyone can just do porn.
Yeah.
And that it is a job like any other job. And I think this was it was really good hearing that because mm-hmm. I think that that's what a lot of people think. Everyone can do porn. I think that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, of course you go to a set and you get filmed or film yourself while having sex. And I think it really changes the way that we can see sex work when we think about it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think everyone is just like, oh, yeah, I'm sexually active, so I can do it. That's certainly not the thing. I know a ton, for example, of porn directors who will never like imagine themselves being in front of the camera, for example. I do think that also doing porn, it's about being very well aware, you know, of the risks that come with doing this. I do feel that it's everything but easy, because it's not just about like going on set and being filmed and getting paid for that. The stigma that comes with it, it comes in the form of censorship, it comes in the form of like people pointing fingers at you, that comes with the risks of being quote unquote outed as a porn actor. There's many people that have it good, but there's also so many other people who do bear like very negative consequences. Would be, for example, the question that maybe if you do porn, you might not be able to perform other work, other mm-hmm. kinds of work. Mm-hmm. As you say, oh, you do porn, and then you want to work with, I don't know, children or something. And then someone finds out, and then even if that one thing has nothing to do with the other, there's like a very big risk. Or let's say like you have children and so on. So, and if someone wants to hurt you, they can use that against you. So definitely it's about like understanding the risks and understanding that, yeah, like maybe it sounds cool, but in so many ways, there's like many other downsides to it. Mm-hmm. It also comes with the question that you have to have like a set of skills and a set of knowledge, you know, so to be able to perform your work safely, you know, both for you and for others. And it also comes with a proper seriousness to it, you know, so that you behave in a certain way professionally, mm-hmm. which means also about like being like dependable about your work, with being able to be trusted in the sense of like, oh yeah, like there's someone who's paying attention to what's going to happen, who treats their colleagues and everyone with respect, you know, who's well-versed on sex education and so on, who's also, and all these things. Like it's also like a very important set of skills. And there's also comes with the bodily skills. I think for many people, for many cis women, I think it's definitely easier to do pornography, but in some other like niches, you know, or depending on what body you have, there's also like certain complications. I think that it's very interesting how in many ways what it's considered cis male talent can be more scarce, you know, than female performers. And mm-hmm. in so many ways, like having that type of body also entails like certain demands, you know, in terms of bodily functions, and also comes with very specific stigmas or things that you can allow yourself or not, at least in what it's considered like straight porn. Like when it comes to cis female performers, it's like, oh yeah, you can be like as you can be straight, but you can be a lesbian and so on. And it's fine if you do girl on girl stuff. But for example, like cis male performers, it's like if you somehow dare to go into more the even like timidly bisexual spectrum, you know, or do gay content, then that can be like a problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think that in so many ways, porn work is work like many other jobs, but at the same time, it is not, because there's also these many other barriers and there's like the stigma and there's all these things that make it, that make things really complex, you know, yeah. And that can in some ways make your life more difficult. When someone asks me like, hey, what would you recommend to someone who wants to do porn? Mm-hmm. My very first answer is always like, don't only think about it once, think about it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, because this is certainly not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. And how is sex education part of your work?
I mean, there's like many aspects of sex education that come with my work. First and foremost, it's the individual responsibility that you have to be properly informed, you know, and properly educated about questions of sexual health, you know, typical thing about like, I don't know, how STDs work in real life, mm-hmm. About the importance of knowing your status, you know, mm-hmm. and also the transparency that comes with like sharing your status, you know, let's say like the sensibility that comes with handling something like this without perpetuating the stigmas that come with STDs or being like positive in any kind of STDs and so on. It's things like that, for example, but it's also things that come with questions of communication, mm-hmm. you know, about how to be able to have very much in mind questions such as boundaries, you know, so that you are able to communicate them properly with the people that you're working with and to make yourself a safer person, both to yourself and others. And also very hand in hand with communication come questions of consent. When a yes is a yes, but when a yes could be a no, how a maybe you might have to treat it like a no, mm-hmm. how no's are non-negotiable, how also to assert your own boundaries. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to work, also to understand and to stick to what you sign up for. It comes like other questions such as even knowledge about how this industry works. I think it's also very important. It's a little bit less on the typical sex education type of thing, but I think also knowing how the porn industry and their many different niches work, it's also good for yeah. work. Sex education has like many different phases and facets and so on. And definitely being a porn worker requires you to be educated,
yeah.
and even sometimes like being exposed to certain circles, environments, you know, you also like get something from that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even let's just say even like another branch of what sex education could be would be like questions of culture, for example, and certainly like questions of politics, such as sex worker rights, you know, or corporate or governmental censorship and the impact that the new laws can have on us, you know, that's also sex education, I would say.
Yeah, I completely agree. And destigmatizing sex work, I think, is a really big part of sex education as well. Even if you yourself are not planning to be a sex worker, the conversations that we have around sex includes, yeah, as you said, politics and culture and the system we live in and, yeah, all of that. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think actually one of the reasons why we have such bad education, sex education in our teens, it's precisely questions of politics, you mm-hmm. know, and how they spill over culture and, and how sex education contents are decided.
So you said how you feel sex education plays a role in your work, in your personal work. And of course, it is also a part of being a porn performer mm-hmm. or director. But how do you think porn and sex education work together? As in, yeah, is porn a form? Can porn be a form of sex education? Should this be separate? How can we see that, view that?
I mean, I do think that porn is intertwined with sex education, and under very intentional and critical frameworks, it is sex education. I do think that, as we said before, like pornography is one of the very first or maybe one of the only materials that we have access to that include like depictions of explicit sexuality. So as such, it's just like something that kind of like intertwines, you know, whether you are confused or whether you are informed. There's also this argument like porn, it's not sex education. And I will say that also it's partially truth, because if you're seeing a pornographic film that it's like intended to be a fantasy, then it does remain a fantasy. You know, let's just say you're watching the typical super popular film about like the stepsister and the stepbrother, you know? Of course, you have to understand that this is a fantasy, and for as long as it remains a fantasy, that's totally fine, you know? And part of understanding what happens behind all that, I do think it's a topic of sex education. Mm-hmm. Definitely what it's usually known as porn literacy, it's a sex education topic to be informed, you know, about the inner works of pornography, about like how come we get to see the things that we see online, you know, where do they come from and what can we take from them? What can we criticize from them? What can we just like, what other things we can just let be, you know, without mm-hmm. stigmatizing or without having any surrounding moral panics around that only make things worse.
Yeah.
That's certainly part of the ways in which porn can be sex education. And there's also this other big area of pornography in which people who have done porn since the beginning of time, so to speak, have actually taken upon themselves to also produce educational material. So for a really long time, many mainstream porn stars, many queer porn icons, you know, many feminist porn directors have created work that it's like explicitly educational, mm-hmm. like a guide to fisting, for example, mm-hmm. a guide to blowjobs, or how to have anal sex with your favorite mainstream porn star. So many people have for a really long time understood like this possibility, and many people who have felt that they would like to do that have actually done that. And that, I think that's amazing, because it helps first to destigmatize, you know, this industry, and also applies the knowledge and the resources into material that hopefully and very surely many people appreciate.
Yeah.
There's also the ways in which you can also learn about porn in the ways in which people, even not explicitly, but also include questions of, let's say, consent or communication or safer sex with the use of condoms or gloves or barrier protections, you know, or when you see like a porn film in which people actually like talk to each other, you know, mm-hmm. or ask questions like, oh, how did you like this? Do you want more of this? Mm-hmm. Yes, no, I like this, this and that. That's like a cue that we can get, that even if the thing it's a fantasy, it's like, oh, actually, oh, like when she's asking looks good, or when she's like saying that she when they're like begging for it actually looks nice. So, oh, like look, like the way in which the performer looks like rough, but at the same time it's careful, you know. So these are like this very soft and cues, you know, that it's mm-hmm. like that somehow you're paying attention, like they make sense. And it comes to be the kind of things about porn that maybe you can actually apply to your everyday life.
Yeah.
Also, there's kinds of pornography that in the ways in which they openly challenge like certain heteronormative ways of seeing or living sex and sexuality can also be a way of educating people, you know, like content made by queer content, for example, seeing bodies that are considered non-normative, you know, mm-hmm. can also have an impact, you know, of many people who see it, or many people who see themselves validated in those, or can also even like normalize the existence of these bodies and tell you, oh, you know, like these people also have pleasure. Yeah. Because it's really funny, but we also think that unless you are like thin and in your prime early 20s, you are sexy and sexual, and after that, ew, you know, so that's education of sorts.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think also it also comes with understanding how pornography in the pornographic industry works. I do think this is something really important and really interesting, because knowing also the inner works of the porn industry can also help us understand more what porn is, what porn is not, can also help us to humanize the people who are in it because of stigma and so on. People think that porn is trash and everyone who's part of it, it's like some kind of like horrible, perverted mm-hmm. person who has been traumatized at some point in their lives. And if something horrible happens to them, they deserve it. Mm-hmm. And also to understand, because many people are like, oh, porn is a multi-million dollar industry and so on and so forth. And then like, so many people are like struggling to make ends meet, you know? So mm-hmm. also it's not this thing that, oh, like, you know, you are like suddenly making lots of money. And so I think it's also very important to understand this, because the better we understand the porn industry as consumers, also the better choices we make.
Yeah.
And with better choices also come safer working standards for the people in the industry, especially sex workers and porn performers. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes it's really paradoxical the way in which people just complain, you know, about porn, mm-hmm. how they direct their own like concerns about, oh, this is unsafe and everyone's a predator and so on. And they direct it entirely to performers. But at the same time, people never support their own people in the way they ask you. And everyone's just like consuming stolen content. Mm-hmm. So also understanding how things work and having a better relationship to it can eventually and ultimately improve the conditions in which porn is made. And I also find that an educational aspect about porn.
Definitely. Yeah, you really brought it to the point, the separation or making the difference between sex education and porn even clearer by educating people more about porn, for example, and also understanding the behind the scenes. And as you said, the communication that goes into creating porn and the conversations you will have beforehand and check-ins and afterwards and all of that, knowing more about that and learning more about that will help with differentiating what is sex education and what is pornography as a means of entertainment.
Exactly.
And I think that still to me, when people refer to porn as this is the way that we have to have sex, or it is problematic because they are taking a fantasy and thinking of it as a reality. Mm-hmm. I think when we watch films, just generally films that are not porn, mm-hmm. if you would watch an action movie, you also don't assume afterwards that it's okay to run around with a gun and shoot everyone.
Exactly.
So it is, you could really think of it in similar terms, that porn can actually be a gateway to fantasies mm-hmm. and to be able to enjoy them while not living them out necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then having the sex educational part, yeah, giving more context, really. And if you do want to engage in any specific sexual practice, then you can, as you said, watch a tutorial or a video of maybe a retired porn performer or someone who has done it for a really long time or has become an expert over time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And it's really funny because sometimes many people find that the example that you made, you know, like the difference between an action movie and real life and how everyone has it very clear, you know, sometimes many people still, when you draw an analogy, many people are still like, whoa, I've never thought about it before. So it's very telling that this kind of difference that we make elsewhere in the media we consume, it's not applied to pornography.
Yeah. And also what you were saying in regards to the diversity of different people and bodies, mm-hmm. that is another part that is still kind of underrepresented and might help with understanding, or maybe might help with the sex educational part of it. But why is the presentation of diversity and people of marginalized groups so important in porn?
I mean, because it is basically a reflection of what the real world actually is. I think also that in many ways, it's really funny the ways in which the porn industry is criticized for having, from what it's usually known as a mainstream industry, it's criticized for having like very little diversity of bodies. And everyone is just pointing out at the typical hypermuscular cis man and all like this super young looking blonde women with silicone boobs and so on and so forth. And everyone just thinks that the porn industry is like that and criticize the industry for that. But if we had to compare, I will have to start with there. If we had to compare like porn as media and the variety of bodies that it presents to other types of media, let's think, for example, about mainstream conventional film. Or let's think about the modeling industry and so on. And we had to compare. Actually, if you think about it, pornography in general, not to say that it's perfect, of course, but pornography in general, and in comparative terms, has a ton more diversity, you know, than other mainstream media, that it's glorified, that it's set the standard, that it's all over the place, and that it's actually there making money and telling people how to see themselves, how to feel, and what is wrong with themselves and their bodies. Mm-hmm. I always like to point out this hypocrisy, because I do think that in so many ways people like just are always like criticizing porn for being like this quote unquote fake and for putting these standards and so on. And I do think like elsewhere in other forms of like popular culture and media that we have, I do think that the standards are far more ruthless. Of course, the biases that we have in general in our society, as in being ageist, as in being fatphobic, as in being transphobic, as in being colorist, as in being racist, as in being sexist, all of these failures that we have in general in society are also translated into pornography. So of course there will always be like this bias present in the industry, but at the same time, I do have to say that there's a lot of potential for diversity within the porn industry. And as mentioned before, I think that, and as we were talking before, like if we were saying about like how in so many ways porn can be significant for the ways in which you can see yourself represented in a way, or your body validated, or your desires represented, and so on. It does go a long way in seeing like bodies similar to yours in the porn you consume, and bodies similar to yours being worthy of enjoying themselves, or of having pleasure, of having desires, of being seen as sexual even. Mm-hmm. So of course that it's super important. I do think that more than other industries, porn, of course, is not perfect. Of course, like the biases that we all have are very visible there. And of course, there's far more visibility to the more normative bodies and desire more than more marginalized ones. But there is definitely like far more room.
Yeah.
In porn. Yeah.
Yeah. And probably because there is such a big stigma around porn, all of these issues that we see everywhere and all other areas as well get even more amplified, because there's all eyes on how horrible the porn industry already is.
Absolutely. I mean, so we are like a typical like target, the canary in the coal mine, the typical scapegoat, you know, like everything is horrendous, like porn does it horrible, porn is toxic because of all these things. But then everywhere else, I mean, it's just a hypocrisy. But at the same time, I mean, something that it's good about it, because it also has like this very meaningful way, not only about feeling better, but also, but yeah, it also makes this statement about bodily autonomy and about everyone's right to feel love and pleasure and being portrayed in ways that are respectful.
Yeah. As our last question of this podcast episode, what needs to happen in the adult industry to give young people a realistic view of sex?
Well, I do think that what needs to happen in the porn industry sadly does depend in many ways on what happens outside of the porn industry, and what kind of overarching decisions both in the governmental and corporate areas are made, so that we are able to speak with more candidly and more in more unbiased way about what porn is not. I do think that sadly enough, there's a lot of like the typical stigma and moral panic that exists around pornography has been used as an excuse for censorship and types of censorship that do not help to address the problems that they claim to address. and all they do is just like shut out, shut conversations down, shut voices down, shut channels down, you know, and they become an obstacle, you know, about for having like these kind of conversations. Of course, pornography needs to be, as we were discussing earlier, it needs to be like age appropriate. I think everyone in the industry, it's the very first person to say, no, we don't want any underage people watching our things. And when done properly, like most platforms do not allow minors mm-hmm. to access the content and so on. But yeah, but at the same time, like, if there were like more appropriate conversations, you know, if like these conversations weren't shut down with censorship and so on, we will be like making progress in this regard. I do think that many people within this industry are very eager, you know, mm-hmm. to have their voices heard. Like many people do know exactly, can tell you like quite easily and at the top of their at the top of their head, like, hey, like, this is what porn is. This is what porn is not. Like, many people will be super, like, eager to talk to politicians, to teenagers, to parents, to adults in general about, like, what this industry is and what, and more importantly, what the lack of understanding, you know, mm-hmm. what the misinformation, what the moral panic, the harm that all of that is doing to us. In so many ways, sadly, like, censorship, it's a massive obstacle. Mm-hmm. Censorship comes in the forms of social media. Mm-hmm. If anything about you relates to sex work, even to sex education and so on, you're always at the risk. You exist on a social media platform and your days are numbered.
Yeah.
Even if you don't engage in posting explicit content, you still mention the word sex. Mm-hmm. Oops. You mention anything related to queer, LGBT. Oops. The mm-hmm. censorship levels are ridiculous. And the same way, like, also kind of like this sort of like prohibition of porn platforms and so on. Sadly, it will not help to bring more safety in the industry. It will just like push the problem under the rug, you know, will make the industry more dangerous for mm-hmm. the young people. And yeah, it will just like make things worse.
Yeah.
And in a sense, definitely, if I do feel that if we had like more room for maneuvering, you know, if we were like less the scapegoat, you know, like more taken more seriously as an industry, that would be an entirely different change, because we're so knowledgeable in all these things. We're so eager to talk about it. And I think that with everyone having the right information about sex education, about pornography, I think it's everyone wins, you know?
Yeah.
Because we want people to be able to understand the things that we do and our content. And we also want to have audiences that are like more receptive to an increasing diversity of mm-hmm. contents and so on. And we also want younger people to be able to have age-appropriate conversations, you know, so that they don't have like this curiosity that they have to keep secret, you know, and eventually come in contact with contents that they do not understand and that they sadly want to recreate, you know, and that leave people with like the wrong idea of what real life sex can be. So it's first and foremost about having access to real conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you too.